Dear loving Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the day, for life and health and strength. And even, I know the weather forecast is not great, Lord, but thank you for this wee bit of sunshine this morning. And for all the work that was done in the church that enables us to have the heat that we have. Please bless your time and your presence. Please, Lord, I pray you be with those that aren't here, especially Pat and Steve at this particular time. I pray, Lord, for his health. Please, Lord, if it would be your will, please lift him out of his, heal him of his sickness and help him to get back on his feet and back out, Lord. For everybody else, for Lynn and Dr. Shang, for safe travels, for Charlotte, for Colin, wherever they might be, Lord, please, I pray, wherever your word's being preached, the whole council of it, Lord, and it's been a help to folks, I pray that you would bless. Bless us now, Lord, and please be with our sister churches. Please, Lord, I pray you, even now, greatly constrain the leaders of our countries to be doing the right thing. And Father, please be one of our number. We love you and thank you. We ask it all in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Right. I think we're on Guide in the Old Great Jehovah. That is number 13 in the books. The wee black books. Number 13 in the wee black books. Guide in the Old Great Jehovah. This will get us going.
Tender prayer and prayer. Pardon me?
You lost your direction.
Monica's cough got a bit bad there.
This morning's reading is from the book of Romans, Romans chapter 12. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say to the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members are not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts different according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophecy according to the proportion of faith. For ministry, let us wait on our ministry. For he that teacheth on teaching, for he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Be kindly, affectionate one to another, with brotherly love, in honour preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil, provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thy enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink, for in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Amen. Yeah.
Chapter 8 the other day there as well, and there's some powerful verses in it. Well, everywhere. There we go. Yep. Just want to remind everybody, that's where I left that. I wondered where that was. The other remote control for the heater. Make sure you get one of those wee gospel tracts. I must apologise, but the admin department of Bethel Baptist Church was out of commission. So this will have to go on. This will have to do us until the... What's the week from today? The 9th? The 9th of October. So please do make sure you have one of those. There's a bunch of stuff on here that's not... that I have written on that's not on the printout ones. Please... pray for Dr. Yang and Dr. Shang. They're travelling in Dublin for work. Frank will be coming over this Wednesday for a doctor's appointment. Please pray for him. For Norman, the Spanish lawyer, and the work that he is doing over in Spain, that seemed to go ahead and work out quite well. Please also pray for Leslie Morrison, Norman's cousin. That's the man. Is that the fellow that was attacked a year or so back? Please do pray for him as well. Private prayer requests, remember those, and if you would, when you get an opportunity, pray for Louise and Owen Doherty. That's the couple that I met not last week but the week before up at the Crescent Link. The wife has esophageal cancer, can't even swallow anything. So it has to be even fed with the tube under the stomach. So please do pray for the Doherty family at this time. By the way, thanks for a good outreach. That was last week. Looking forward to another one this week. And for Monica, has improved so much that she's able to join us. So thank you very much. Monica is back. She Arnold Schwarzenegger'd us. I'll be back. And she was. Amen. Right, let's have another wee word. Sorry, before we... Is there anything else we need to be praying for? Anything else you can think of? Yes?
We're hoping to go to pray down this Thursday. Since we didn't make it last Thursday.
Did you check the weather forecast? I think it's a good week to be away somewhere else. I don't think it's going to get any drier anywhere else. It's supposed to be quite wet this coming week, so please do pray about that, that people keep their heads screwed on and keep doing anything silly. I think that's us. Let's have a word of prayer and then we'll continue. Dear loving Heavenly Father, we thank you again for, Lord, for all your many helps and blessings, for your word and for the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. We thank you, Lord, for the ministrations of angels, and Father, even for just having an open ear, and for us being able to come before you at any time. And I pray, Lord, you know all of our private prayer requests. You know our needs and our daily bread, our sustenance, not just physically but spiritually. I pray, Father, please, that you would deliver and that you would find us. I just have this image of feeding a little baby with its nose turned up and having to make airplane noises or choo-choo train noises. And I know, Lord, you have to do that a lot for us. But Father, we would pray for our absent brethren, for Lynn and for Charlotte, for Colin, for Pat and Steve. For those that could and should be here, Lord, for those even that have slipped away. I pray, Lord, that you would restore them to fellowship and to a closer walk. Remember too, Lord, Owen and Louise Doherty, and for the great health problems that they're having. For Steve too, Lord, and his health issues, I pray, Lord, that you would, if it would be your will, that you would restore him. And Father, that you would put your good hand upon Pat as she ministers to him. For Lynn as she travels, for Frank as he plans to travel. For Monica, Lord, being back with us. Pray you too, Lord, for the Hamilton family and the Ritchie family as they mourn the loss of a loved one, of Fiona, being the Hamilton. And for all those, Lord, for Reggie and Christine, for Will and Paul and Kai, and for Rachel too, Lord, and for Mary. Please, Lord, I pray comfort and bless at this time. Pray as well, Lord, for Bethel. Thank you for being able to be here. For the leaflets that have gone out, Father, for the people, I pray, that would have been spoken to or reached. For the opportunity, Lord, this afternoon to go up to the Crescent Link and to bring a wee word of the Scriptures there. Please bless us now, the remainder of the service. I pray, Lord, for your inspiration, comfort, strength, direction, guidance, chastening even. But, Lord, please let your will be done. We just love you and thank you. And we pray for all these things, and as well as for Israel, and for people that run this world, we pray that you would do as you will, and we pray it all according to your will, and in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. All right. Let's take our big hymn books again, and we'll sing another song or two. Not so apt for today, but it might be for the rest of the week. 224. There shall be showers of blessing.
you're able, and we'll stand as we sing. Severick, that's away up Ballycastle, that sort of direction there. It was just one of those, I don't know if you ever come across a hymn that just, the tune hits the spot, the words hit the spot, but this is one of those. I found a friend.
He read the words above and love.
bit more attention to the words in that, I could have saved myself a lot of writing for the message this morning. But even the very, very end of that echoes the verses in Romans chapter 8, where Paul says he's persuaded that nothing can separate him from the love of God. We are in the book of Joshua this morning, Joshua chapter 1, verse number 1. I want to read about nine verses of this portion of God's word. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua. Joshua chapter 1. I want to spend a little while this morning on the subject of being connected. Being connected. Joshua chapter 1, I'm going to read the first 9 verses. Amen. Word of God says, "Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. And there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee, and will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law, which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." Amen. Amen. There are a number of verses there that are very, very interesting, but I'm just trying to find them. Verse number 5 and 6. Those are going to be our particular text, and one other verse that I would like to read in Exodus 33, but we'll get to that in just a moment. Let's have a wee word of prayer. Will, would you be okay to lead us in a wee word?
Good Father, this day, Lord, thank you for our good gift of giving over the past week and for our lives, Lord. We want an honor today, Lord. Bless our service, bless our praise, Lord, everything that you've given us, Lord, to come up to your presence today, Lord, and be accepted and put our service, our praise, our prayers, our supplications, our thoughts, and our deeds, Lord, and our motives, Lord, and anything else that is with us. For us, God, closer walk with thee, Lord, and we're more in tune with thee. We're with absolute prayer, Lord, with them that we've been with them today. We're with Lynn, keep her safe and well, Lord, and keep her safe as she's double and blood flight, O Lord. And keep us safe and well. Be with Frank as he travels, Lord, and bless him and keep us safe. And also be with Dr. Shang, and be with him and try and push a walk with you as well, Lord. Be with Paul and Charlotte, Lord. Let's talk to them, Lord. Bring my house next point in time. Keep us safe and well, Lord. Be with Stephen, Carl, and John as well, Lord. Be with Stephen, Pat, Lord. Be with Stephen, his leg, Lord. And his medications and his condition, his health condition, Lord, that might heal him, deliver from any trouble, Lord. And also be with Pat, please give her grace and give her gifts, Lord. And Lord, help her and her service to Steve, Lord, and Lord, help them both, Lord, and push her walk with you, Lord. And Lord, everybody else, Lord, we pray for, Lord, with the Louise and the one, Lord, help Louise with her her throat, Lord, and heal her mightily, powerful Lord, and help her mightily so that she sees it as a miracle, Lord, and draw them and save her souls primarily, most importantly, Lord. Will this day, Lord, give Marcus come to love the gospel, give them the worship speaking, and give them the spirit, Lord, to be inspired from the gospel, Lord, to direct it into our minds and into our ears, Lord, into our thoughts, Lord, and do our social walk with you today and for the coming week to come, Lord. Will this day, Lord, be gracious and give us for Jesus Christ, I pray, amen.
Thanks, Lord. Thank you, sir. Amen. I want to read another verse from Exodus 33 and verse number 11. And this, you don't have to turn, or you can turn if you like. It's just, we're talking about connections this morning, or being connected. And this is how closely Moses was connected, if you like, to God in Exodus, Genesis, Exodus chapter 33 and verse number 11. The word of God says, "The Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. And he turned again unto his camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle." One of the other verses in the scriptures comments that Moses, my servant, is dead. And as I was with Moses, verse number 5, so I will be with thee, and will not fail thee nor forsake thee. And that is a very, very precious promise indeed. Can you imagine, just for a moment, that the Lord saying to you that I will speak to you face to face as a man speaks to a friend? Now, we know it wasn't to be a literal face-to-face, because if you recall to mind, as the Lord gave Moses the law up on the mount, Moses asked to see him, and God said, you can't actually stand. The physical, sinful body cannot stand. Can you imagine if all the sinful parts of your body fled away? What would that leave? It would leave literally just your soul, the saved soul, your body, and the effect that sin has had on it, and that is this that causes us to die, and it would be gone. God hid Moses in the cleft of the rock, and whenever God passed by, Moses was able to see the back of God, and he said, you can stand that, but you can't stand to see me face to face. He was meaning that he was literally speaking to Moses, and then he promised that he would treat Joshua exactly the same. And Joshua, as it says in Exodus, never left Moses. He was always in the tabernacle. Where he reminds me a little bit of John, as in the Apostle John, who was called the beloved disciple or the beloved apostle, because he was always there with Jesus. Whenever people turned up, John was there first. And people used to think because he got the best seat beside Jesus all the time that Jesus loved him more than anybody else. But the truth of the matter was that he loved Jesus that much more than everybody else. And so we have God speaking to Joshua and saying, Moses is gone. My servant, one of the greatest pieces of praise that God can ever send away to anybody. And if we cut straight to verse number 5, God says, as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. Can you imagine that? Promise of God, I will treat you exactly the same way as Moses. You will walk with me. You will talk with me. I will do miracles on your behalf. And he said, this is all you need to do. The bit prior to that, the Lord is telling Joshua, it is up to you to make sure the children of Israel get into the promised land and start to take the land that will be theirs. So that's verses 2, 3, and 4. And he said there will be nobody. Nobody will be able to stand in your way. Any adversary that you come across will not be able to stand against you. Verses 6, 7, 8, and 9 give us the not the conditions, but the opportunities that Christian has to reap these great rewards that God has promised to Joshua. In verse 6 he says, be strong and of a good courage. First of all, it says, you're going to have to organize people. The people were going to be given, the sons of Reuben would be given this part of land, and the sons of Joseph would be given that part of land. And he said, be strong and of a good courage when it comes to dealing with people. Tell them what's what. That's step number one. And then it says in verse number 7, only be thou strong and very courageous. You see, people can, you can take it or leave it. And it takes a lot in this day and age to stand up. A lot of people are very, very concerned about their street cred, about how other people view them. And God says, when it comes to organizing the people, don't back down. Just tell them what's what. I am telling you what's what. You pass that on to them. Don't be afraid to tell people what to do. You're in charge. The next verse is one that maybe hits a little bit closer to home, where God says, be strong and be very courageous, because you are going to have to follow my commandments, my statutes, and the laws. And it doesn't matter what anybody else is doing. He says, don't turn to the left or the right. Keep your eyes on the law and just keep going forward. And that was very hard for Moses. And we all know why Moses' life came to a close just before he stepped into the promised land, because the children of Israel aggravated him that much that he got angry and struck the rock when he was supposed to speak to the rock the second time, so that the water would come out and water the children of Israel. It can be hard to be a God-fearing man or woman, boy or girl, in a world that hates God. Because you are going to annoy people. You are going to aggravate people. And you're going to constantly remind them by even your presence. Once they get to know you, hey, he's a born-again Christian. And if he's a born-again Christian, He's supposed to follow what God says and believe what God says. And everybody knows in their heads, in the back of their minds, they might not know anything about the Bible, but they sure do know what God likes and what doesn't like. God doesn't like people stealing stuff. He doesn't like people using bad language, especially taking his name in vain. He likes children to honor their mothers and fathers. He doesn't like worshiping idols. He doesn't like murdering people. He doesn't like immorality. He doesn't like all of those things. People know these things, whether or not they've ever read a Bible or not. And the fact that you sit in their company or even speak in their company, that's going to convict them greatly of every single thing that they have done wrong. And a lot of people are not exactly queuing up at the doorstep of churches or Christians' doors to be reminded about what's wrong, believe it or not. And so you're going to be left out. You're going to be sidelined. Your worldly opportunities are not going to be as great when you choose to follow God. Not only that, it says it should always be in your mind whenever it comes to dealing, making decisions in this world. It says, the book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. But you should think upon it day and night. You might think, well, that sounds like a lot of work, because there's a lot of things going on in this world. If you have God as your Savior and the Holy Spirit as your helper and guide, everything you go to do will be flavored with your salvation, with God's laws. And God said, make sure you obey. And then it'll be prosperous for you, and you shall have good success. I think that sort of speaks for itself. He said, be strong and of a good courage, and don't be afraid, and don't be dismayed or confused. I'll be with you whithersoever thou goest. And one of the things that really lets us down sometimes is that, yes, we know about God's actions in the Bible. We know that He dried up the Red Sea for the children of Israel, for tens of thousands of the children of Israel to walk across, maybe even hundreds of thousands. We know that He made the water like hard ground for Peter when he hopped over the side of the boat. We know that He opened the Jordan for the children of Israel to make it from the wilderness into the promised land. We know that He called the dead back to life. He called the fish up out of the water. He calmed the winds and the waves. How many things did the Lord do? And we read about it and we have this experience of it from the Bible. But we never actually behave like God can do those things for us right now. And that is why the Lord said to Joshua, be strong and of a good courage. Don't be confused. Don't be afraid. Behave like I am with you at all times. Step into the Jordan. Step into the Red Sea. Step onto the water whenever I tell you to. And you will see amazing things. These are the things that God said to Joshua. And I want to scoot the whole way to the New Testament for a little quote that tells us that God is no respecter of persons. Those things still apply to us today. Those should be the way that we behave. And you're not going to hear what God has to say to you when you're watching TV or surf on the web, unless He shouts really loud and it's an emergency. You're not going to hear it when you're down at the pub, or when you're out gallivanting, or carrying on, or putting in a day, wasting time playing video games, or whatever it is that people do. You're not going to hear the Word of God doing those things. But when you set time aside in your day and let God speak to you, you will hear. You will hear. Now, if I was to, that's our wee bit of Bible study. Those are the words that, the start of the words that God spoke to Joshua. And we know as time went on, all the days of Joshua and all the men that saw all the things that God did, the children of Israel behaved themselves. But after that, you're into the judges and then you're into the kings and so on and so forth, as the children of Israel wanted to be more like everybody else. Don't ever be in a hurry to fit in with the crowd, friends. Can you imagine the number of people between Joe Public and God whenever the kings were in place? God spoke to the king and ruled the country. That was pretty much it. And every time the children of God wanted to be more like the world, there were more people and more obstacles between them and God. It doesn't have to be that way. The Bible says there's one mediator between God and man, and that's the man Christ Jesus. We're talking about being connected. If we were in America and you talked about being connected, you would probably be thinking of the mafia or maybe a local gang. Or if you're in military circles and connected, maybe you were in touch with the CIA or some other clandestine organization. If you mention it over here, you could be talking about the IRA or the INLA or the UVF or the UVA. And even just saying that might give people pause for thought whenever it comes to them dealing with you. But we need a connection. We need to be connected. And one of the reasons, the main reason for this message this morning, is that, I don't know, Will and I were out for breakfast before we went leafleting yesterday morning. I don't know, did you notice there were two families, and I went back to get Steve a cappuccino before I went down to visit them. Did you notice any of the families in the window as we went past? There was one family, was a father and four children, and the father was sitting on the phone And I thought, well, that's not very family-orientated time. And I did a double take, and each one of the other three children were on the phone. They were on the internet, they were playing a game, but there wasn't one word spoken on that table. And then, as I was walking back out to my car again, I saw another family. It was a father and a son, and again, both were stuck on their phone. Here they were, out in McDonald's to get their favourite, in quotes, great breakfast, and have some time together, and they were stuck on the phone. And they were connected. If the child was playing a game online, it was connected to other people. If the other folks were on their favourite social media app, yes, they were connected. They were connected by a 4G or a 3G signal to a computer within the next 2 miles, probably about 200 yards up at the Crescent Link. And they were connected to people that could have been halfway around the world. They were connected, but not in any helpful way, not in a meaningful way. But yet, no, we sort of need that. We need a connection. Now, a lot of people, unfortunately, believe that this connection has to be a good broadband connection. And even as I was driving out from the house this morning and looking longingly at the piece of fibre optic cable that BT is stringing along the telegraph poles out here, I was hoping that maybe I would get a letter in the mail saying, Mr. Bradfield, we now have 10 gigabyte or whatever, 100 megabyte broadband available in your area, and I wouldn't have to be thinking too long about signing up for that. But we need a different connection. Everybody needs a connection, and we can see how this affects people, because most times people are looking to belong to something that's bigger and more important or greater than themselves. That's just us. We need that. People choose a number of different causes. It might be a religion. It might be an organization. It might be a hobby. It might be a group. Golf club? I don't know, but people are always looking to belong to something, something that's important, to hang our hat on something that is meaningful. I know I've said it over the years, mine used to be a little satellite going around the earth forever and ever, just beeping or doing something that I could put my hand and heart and say, in 1,000 years' time, it can still be floating around the earth. And I thought that was a neat thing until I got saved, until the Lord found me. Human nature says we need a connection. That is the reason for so much trouble in this world, and that is the reason for so much grief in our own lives. There is a part of us that is God-shaped, a great hole in our lives. And unless God fills that and completes that, we are going to be looking for the meaning of life, the universe, and everything for the rest of our natural lives. We literally cry out for a connection to God. And it will only ever be satisfied with that connection to God. And that connection to God will help put everything else into perspective. It'll help you see things properly. Instead of, we were having a discussion out the back, and instead of people seeing money as the answer to all of their problems, they will see God as the answer to all of their problems, and money as a tool whereby they might be able to accomplish the solution for one or two of them. Everything. Anything. That will not consume the saved soul. Let me put that another way. When you put God first, everything else is a tool or an experience that is not life-changing. It's all about God and what God says. And all of your efforts after that will be tempered with the knowledge that your soul is saved and going to heaven, and that you have to give an accounting to God of your thoughts and your words and your deeds some of these days. And this will enable you to carry out impossible efforts. Sometimes these will happen miraculously. Like, I still get a kick out of sitting in the church, knowing all of the work that went into it, knowing that the walls are better, the roof's better, the lights are better, the floors are better, the electrics are better, the bathrooms are better. I still get a kick of that. And as far as I'm concerned, that's quite literally a miracle when I stop and think about it, the way it has gone. A lot of people just kick and spit and reject God. They do it because they're not saved, and they have no knowledge or understanding of God. They treat the internet like God. If you were to go on to Facebook, and some of the Facebook freaks, people that live on Facebook, you will find their date of birth. You might even find where they live, their favourite food, their favourite occupation. You'll find their opinions and their preferences, and maybe even a list of their other friends. What their favourite fashion is, their car and the registration number of it. You might even find their schedule or their holidays, when they're away on their holidays, when they're going shopping, what they bought at the shops. I remember somebody putting on Facebook that they were going for their holidays for 2 weeks, and I said, thank you, I know where you live, I'm coming for your TV. Don't put stuff like that onto the internet. But they do that, and they know nothing about the people around them, the people that can really make a difference in their lives. And I know if family doesn't get on the friends list, the family might not be heard of. What a lot of people don't understand is that this knowledge, this information that they give, is power. And the organizations behind these social media, I'm not anti-social media, I use it from time to time for things. They don't store that information in complete privacy for your good. They use it. They utilize it for their profit. Now, there's a wee verse, a couple of verses in Isaiah 14. It's the five idols of the devil. I'm going to read them all to you. This is what God passed on to Isaiah so that people can understand the way the devil works. This is what God said, Isaiah 14:12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. And it goes on to say, yet thou shalt be brought down to hell to the sides of the pit. I don't know how much you know that God knows about what you know. I'm going to leave the last no out of that. I don't know if you know how much God knows about you. You might think, well, does he know my favorite color? My favorite color used to be yellow. I don't know what it is now. I quite like that blue that's up on the walls. My favorite animal used to be a cheetah, because it could run, 70 kilometers per hour or something like that. The fastest critter on two legs and on four legs in the face of the earth. Well, God knows those things about me. God knows all of our thoughts. He says in Matthew chapter 4, whenever he was talking to the scribes and the Pharisees, he says, remember the commandments he said that said, don't commit any adultery? And they said, we do, Lord. And he says, well, I'm telling you, the measure of adultery is whether you look upon a woman or a man to lust after them in your heart. You've heard about murder, and there's judgment for murder, haven't you? It says, thou shalt not kill, in the commandments. And they said, of course, Lord. He said, well, I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause is guilty of murder. In other words, it's the thoughts of our hearts. God knows even them. And knowing them, he still loves us. And that's what's really crazy for me, that he would love us. And do you remember what he said whenever the Lord was talking to the disciples? He said, I even know the number of hairs in your head, even the wee birds. Many starlings or whatever that he say could buy for a farthing. And he says, there's sparrows. He says, there's not even one of them falls to the ground, but I know about it. He says, I know the number of hairs on your head. That is how much information he knows your thoughts. He says, we'll give an account of every word, so he knows our words. And he knows our deeds, our actions. And he loves us anyway. That's the sort of love, of connection that is offered to us by God Almighty. It might seem a little bit like a one-way street because it's all about us. But really, God is all about us. He wants us saved. He wants the streets of gold populated, not with millions, because it's only looking like there'll be millions of people in heaven. He wants the streets of gold populated with billions. But I don't think that'll happen, because he also said that straight is the road and narrow is the way that leads to life, and few there be that find it. But broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many that be that are on it. I wrote down a few things here because I'm forever getting. If you ever get plagued by those telephone numbers, someone says, hello, my name is being Patricia, and I am not from India or any place like that trying to scam you. Are you being Mr. Bradfield? I say, right. Is your house such and such? Right. He said, can you confirm that? I said, I don't give out any information over the phone. And they hang up. You know why I don't give them that information? Because they don't love me. They're not operating in my best interest. They are trying to get my bank account details. They are trying to access my computer. They are trying to cause me strife and trouble. They are making merchandise off of me. And so will all of the organizations, institutions, social media platforms that say they're your friend. I can't actually think of one that is operating for yours and my benefit right now. Except for God Almighty. Can you imagine? Give me the Jack Dorsey, he's the Twitter dude, isn't he? The guy that looks like a homeless hobo. Can you imagine him saying, do you know what? I love all of my users. I am going to sell all of my shares and all of my interest. I'm going to empty my bank account, sell my house, and I'm going to give every user on Twitter $100. I don't know if he could do that or not and stuff. And I am going to give my heart, my lungs, my retinas, my kidneys, and my skin, and whatever else, and my liver, I'm going to give them up to help other people live, to survive cancer, to survive blindness. I am going to do all of that. Can you see any of them doing it? Can you see the current president of the United States giving up all of his under-the-counter table, under-the-table money, the brown envelopes, to help the American people? Oh, here's the $300,000 I get every year as the President of the United States. I am going to give that to some charity. I know Trump did that. But can you see these thieves and liars and murderers? Because that's what they are, giving their money to help the people they're charged with ministering to. I can't. Even Liz Truss, she is not a good girl. She is in the energy company's pocket. She has not charged them with profiteering and forced them to reduce their prices. She has written another check for who knows how many billions and handed it to them so that we get cheaper energy. That's a whole different kettle of fish. God loves us. And he wants an intimate relationship with us. That doesn't mean just knowing stuff about someone. That means being connected to, communicating with someone. In Philippians chapter 4, God says, be careful for nothing. But in everything, every single part of your life, every moment of every day, make your requests known unto me with prayer and supplication and thanksgiving. And when you do that, when you talk to me about everything, this is the promise of God. The peace of God that passeth all understanding will keep your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. That is the level of connection that not that just that God wants from us, but that we need from God. There's a strange thing. Whenever we come to church, there's no rock music. There's no naked bodies. There's no Satanism. There's no paganism. What else? Do we do bad language? There's none of that. Do you know why? Because in the last hour and 5 minutes that we have been in the house of God, we're singing good songs, we're listening to the best words that the world has ever seen, that very word of God. I'm talking about what Norman was reading, the word of God that I was reading. And for just this little bit of time, for a half an hour, I have quite literally forced you to think about your relationship with God. And when you're doing those things, it's hard to think on bad things. And that's why God wants us to talk to him about everything. I have come to the conclusion that if I want advice on building or small petrol engines, I'm going to speak to that guy over there. If I want advice on computers or educational stuff, I'll speak to Will at the back. If I want anything done around the house, or songs played, or something fixed, I'll speak to that woman there. You go and speak to the expert when you're having difficulty with a subject. And if you're having difficulty with life, you go and speak to God. And talk to him about it. It's not like going up to the help desk and saying, God, I have a problem with Excel. How do you copy one series of cells to another piece of the spreadsheet? And God said, that's easy. I'll get Mark or Will to show you how to do that. And while you're here, pull up a chair. Do you know what God says? I stand at the door, not just of your heart, of your life, and knock. And if any man will open, I will enter in and I will sup with him. And he will sup with me. In other words, we'll be friends. And he says time and time again, if you do my commandments, you are my friend. If you do whatsoever I command you. That is the level of connection that God wants with you that we need. I think it's Psalm. Is it Psalm 18 and 34? It says, if a man wants friends, he will show himself friendly. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. I've got a few verses written down, and I honestly think I need to read them. And then we'll be pretty much done. First of all, how do you get all these things? And you have to be born again. That's just it. You need to repent of your sins and trust in Christ, and him alone is your Savior. You see a difference in your life, you know you've done it right. You're lifted off the broad road of destruction and put in the straight and narrow way that leads to life. This is what the Bible says. John 14. If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. How's about that? God Almighty with you every moment of every day. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, and neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. In the same chapter, a couple of verses later, it says, the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. And then in John 16 he says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient, it is better for you that I go to heaven, I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he was come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. And you know what it says about that Comforter, about the Holy Spirit? It says, don't grieve it. Ephesians chapter 4, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed to the day of your redemption. He loves you the best. And that is the reason for the verses in Romans 8 where Paul said, I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature, nothing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You and I are so precious to him that once we allow him to save us, he keeps us in the palm of his hand and no man can pluck us out. With Christ as our only Savior, with our Father in heaven as our confidant, with the Holy Spirit as our helper and guide, we don't look at the things around us in this world as our purpose, as our raison d'etre, as they say en français, as the purpose of our lives. They become tools, things we can use to live our lives, because they're no substitute for a real, honest, close relationship with God. They have a proper place, and they will continue to have a proper place as long as we cultivate and maintain a good relationship with God. I know a lot of these things seem very theoretical from time to time, but there will come a time when every single thing that you have will be gone. And you will be aware of it, even if it's only fleeting. You will be aware that your money is no good to you. You will be aware that your health is no good to you. Your intellect is no good to you. Your vitality and your strength is no good to you. Your friends are no good to you. I'm not even any good to you. But the only thing is going to be any good to you is your relationship with God. I pray that you have a close call that you're able to come round from, because it is a great focuser and sharpener. And it helps you understand that even when everything else lets you go in this world, Jesus will never let you go. Once that connection is made, it's there forever. Take advantage of it. Learn all that you can. Which one of the armed services says, be all that you can be? Army? Be all that you can be for Jesus. He's your God. He's your Savior, Christian. He's your Lord, and he wants to be your friend. Cultivate that. Keep it active. Keep it alive. Keep talking to your God. Amen. Stopping there, thank you for your good time. I appreciate it. God bless. Not in the book of Joshua anymore. We're in our hymn books for our closing hymn. Where are we? Hymn number 150 in the big books. My faith is found to rest in the place of your table. We'll stand as we sing. Close our eyes and we'll be dismissed with a wee word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this little bit of time. Please watch over us and remind us always, Lord, as we go, about walking and talking with you. Bless us. See us safely home, Father, back at the next appointed time. Please prepare hearts and mind, my own included, as we go up to the present night. Pray, Lord, most of all, for your will to be done. Love you and thank you, Lord. And we ask all this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen, folks, we are dismissed.